Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning. Oh boy, not a good night last night for the Tennessee Titans. A 34-17 loss to the Indianapolis Colts. And man, at times, it was very, very ugly last night for the Titans at Nissan Stadium. Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, how we doing?
Ryan Porth, I'd like to. I want to congratulate Ryan Porth.
For what?
1-0 in pigskin pick'em, baby. What's up?
I'm the leader in the clubhouse.
See? Get some solace in
there.
Way to
go, Porth. And I'm not proud of it. How are we doing this morning? Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Where's this one rank?
Look.
Where's this one rank?
Why are you so upset? You talked about this all week. You knew it was going to happen.
But when you watch it again for the 20th time in the last 24 games against these fools, it doesn't make it any better.
You know, it's also 28 of 35. I went back a little bit just to stick it a little bit more.
Thanks, Joe.
I did use your stat in my comm, 8 out of 9 at home. That's amazing. Where does this rank for you, though, as far as just the terribleness of losses to the Colts?
Oh, it's up there.
Yeah.
Especially that third quarter. I want to punt that third quarter right into the sun, but don't let Trevor Daniel do it because he only goes 17 yards.
17 yards. Look, we're going to talk a lot about that today here on the show, but look, you should have known. You don't bring a Tennessee volunteer out on the field right now. You just can't do it. And they did, and that's what happened. The Tennessee Vol curse lives on. It's infected the Titans. And Trevor Daniel.
So you are saying that just the Titans can't have a ball?
Yeah, the Titans can't have
a
ball.
So just because they're
too
in
much
the same
negativity
state?
In the same state, right?
Justin
now.
Hunter,
too close to it all.
Justin Hunter.
They are never allowed to go to Knoxville to get another player.
You can't do it.
When's the last good ball they had?
I guess Haynesworth. I don't know. Probably Haynesworth.
No, really?
It's gotta be
going back that far.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of another one.
They had a tight end who was okay for a little bit, right? Am I wrong about this?
Luke Stocker. Sure, yeah.
Got Is he a ball?
Yeah,
okay, there you go. Luke Stocker.
Luke Stocker got stuffed on a 4th-and-1 on a run play in Houston.
But he's not the problem there. It's the people deciding to give him that ball there, right?
Yeah.
Luke Stocker did a fine job.
He did. Thank
yes.
you.
There we go. We found a positive ball.
For the Titans.
Positive ball for the Titans.
In the last decade.
Yeah.
Oh. I'll be honest with you, and we're going to talk a lot about it here on the show today. But when they made that goal line stand last night in the third quarter, you know, we do our show planning every night, and we've got like a somewhat of a formula we follow, even though I derail us quite frequently. But I got on our little group chat and was like, all right, here we go. That goal line stand, huge turning point in the game for the Titans. This is where they flip it around. They're going to go down the field and score and ice this game away, and they'll be 7-2 sitting pretty in the AFC South. And then he gets out there, Trevor Daniel, and punts a 17-yard punt off the side of his foot. Ugh.
11 plays in 63 seconds take them from 17-13 up with all the momentum.
Yeah.
With noise in that stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, it's noisy. I'm like 13,000, 14,000 people. That's pretty good. It takes them from that to down 27-17. And the first three of those 11 plays were Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, nine. The whole place is just, you can feel it. And, I mean, the absolute disaster of the next few plays and seconds of that game, unbelievable. And, of course, then you get to, why? Why'd you make the switch at punter?
Yeah. That's a great question.
Which was not answered.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it was answered. I mean, Vrabel said it was in practice, but I mean, just the inability of, and again, this is, I think this is coach and GM when you look at the whole specialist thing over the last 2 years. It's amazing. It's amazing how much fail there's been around all these decisions around specialists. And I went back, I went through and looked at all the guys that right now they could have.
Okay.
Suck up. Parkey. Suck up, kicking for the Bucks. Parkey. Right. Kicking for the Browns.
Yeah.
Cairo Santos kicking for the Bears. Those guys are 41 of 46 this year. They're all amazing. They're all having amazing years. And I mean, you got Gostkowski out here at 12 for 20, which, again, to me, that was the death blow, was his miss.
I cannot figure him out. He drills the one from 50 yards. The 50-yarder, I mean, he couldn't have kicked it better. It was right down the middle. And then you get inside 50, and he just clams up. Like, I've never seen anything like it. It's usually the other way around. I can't for the life of me understand it. 44-yarder, it's just wide right. And he knew it. He knew it as soon as he kicked it.
The guy was 6 for 6 at Minnesota. He is now, so he's 6 for 14. Other than that, right? And another thing I just don't get: forget the punting, because Ryan Allen was great against the Bears.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't have great hang time, but he averaged 50.5 on 8 punts. He worked all day and he worked well. And then you have a short week. Okay, you don't have much time to make a decision. But you're also taking away a guy who held for Gostkowski for years in New England for a third holder in a third game. And I'm not saying that has anything to do with the miss. I mean, like you said, he made the other one. But why are you messing with that?
It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I look, there's a lot more to a lot more to this game, and we'll get through all of it. But that's I have to start there. I don't understand what you're doing with the specialists, and it killed you.
Yeah,
here.
It absolutely did. And now the Colts, first place in the AFC South. You're 6-3 now. In the next two games, you're going to Baltimore to play. You're going to Indy to play. 6-5 is very possible. I mean, the way this defense and special teams is operating right now, and, oh, by the way, the offense as well, things could get bad in a hurry here. I don't want to overreact, but things are not trending well for the Titans right now.
The path to 9-7.
It's clear, man.
Is right before you, Tennessee Titans. 5 in a row. An amazing feat, it could be.
Old man Rivers last night, 29 of 39, 308, one touchdown, and they never really got close to making him all that uncomfortable. I mean, you never really felt like the horrible Phillip Rivers interception was coming last night.
Well, he tried to throw one.
I know he did.
Malcolm Butler almost made a great play on it. But, yeah, that was it. And he gets the ball out in 2 seconds. And I just, there are a lot of questions about this after the game. You know, Kenny Vaccaro was really good trying to explain it. Why are you ever giving short stuff away to Phillip Rivers? You know? I mean, did he try to throw downfield? He tried to throw downfield and he almost threw a pick to Butler. There were a couple of times where it had to have been just busts where he had guys running the middle of the field all by themselves. Pittman one time was just all alone. But other than that, it was just, here's the dink to the back, dink to the back, dink to the tight end, dink to the back. You know, he throws it 5 yards past the line, and they get 8 yards on the play over and over and over again. So that's an easy second guess. You know, again, you're not going to play the same coverage every time against him, but I just didn't think there was enough aggression.
No, I mean, how many times did they have a 3rd and 4 last night or – the 4th down, they went for it like 5 times on 4th down last night. And they need 5 yards. You're playing 9 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like Breon Borders one time gave T.Y. Hilton like a 12-yard cushion. I was like, what are you doing? I know T.Y. Hilton's fast, but like, are you scared that Phillip Rivers is going to throw it over the top? Make him do it once. Like, it was unbelievable to me how much room the Titans secondary was giving these receivers with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback. I could not believe it. And it was the whole game. It wasn't like this was a first quarter problem. It was the whole game.
And, you know, Vaccaro talked after the game about the coaches saying, like, you've got to mix it up. So sometimes show off and come up and press, show press and back away, whatever. Some of it is on these guys individually at the corner position in particular to mix things up. But, yeah, I don't get that. And then you have 29 carries for 133 yards for the Colts. I mean, they've been struggling to run. They ran it on you. Hines was great. You know, Wilkins gets in there. They mix it around. They had the big end around to Pittman that set up the winning touchdown.
Yeah.
Just not good enough. I mean, I did feel like the Titans defense at that moment, they get the goal line stand. They'd still been death by a thousand paper cuts and all that stuff. But, hey, that was a big moment. That good for them. I mean, Simmons, two plays in a row, blows them up in the middle. Like, the defense was actually on course to being a big part of a big win. And they got betrayed, you know, for once. It's usually been them doing that.
There was a moment in the first quarter where I feel like this game could have been not out of reach, but it would have been very tough for the Colts to come back.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
That didn't seem egregious in the moment, but seems egregious after seeing the result, and that was the A.J. Brown drop.
Yeah. No doubt.
You're up 7-0. You had – what did I ask for yesterday? Rhythm early from Ryan Tannehill. That first drive was perfect. With Arthur Smith, you have that bomb to A.J. Brown, and he just drops it. And he was probably gone for a touchdown.
Oh, he was gone. He was gone.
Would have been 14-0. And he drops it. You punt it back, and, you know, you were still up 10-3 and 17-10, but you could have been up 14-0 early in the first.
Xavier Rhodes just trying to bang him all the way down the sideline. He blows past him. Perfect. Yeah. I don't even know how – I mean, it was almost lucky that ball was as perfect as it was because he was so taken off his route, but it was right there. Touchdown. No. I mean, A.J. Brown, how many passes did he drop? At least, I think he dropped three passes last night.
My first reaction –
had three drops.
At least two.
On that play was, did he, like, lose the ball in the lights? That was my first reaction because he was so wide open, and it hit him right in the hands. I mean, he could have walked into the end zone after that. You never see A.J. Brown do that.
He was, like, late to try to catch the ball.
That's why I wonder if he lost it in the lights.
Yeah, that's true. But still.
No, I mean, yeah, and where does it go from there if it's 14-0?
Yeah.
Hey, the clock operator may have given the Colts a break too. I mean, that's just a field goal, but, boy, I didn't think they got that spike off.
Yeah, it was very, very close. Now, I'm sure they would have gone back and reviewed it, but very close on that play for sure. And maybe the most disappointing part, well, not the most disappointing, but one of the most disappointing parts last night, we talked about, you know, Derrick Henry. Would he be able to have success against that Colts defense? He ran the ball really well. 19 carries, 103 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. I thought he was awesome last night. And Titans offense, really nothing to show for it.
He was 200 yards good in this game. He was great. And, again, he's sitting there on the sideline for the last 10 minutes of the game because they're just getting blown out. I mean, he would have had a number last night if they had stayed ahead or even within a score.
I mean, he was on the sideline for most of, you know, late in the second quarter and the third quarter. I mean, they kept showing the total play stat. I mean, the Colts had 60 plays when the Titans had 30 plays.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was
the Colts' best defense for Derrick Henry last night was their offense staying on the field.
Yeah. Just if you would have told me that Derrick Henry was going to run the ball that well against the Colts, I said, all right, Titans are going to win. Because that, to me, was going to be one of the big keys of the game is could he get going? And you could tell pretty early on. Well, not early on because I was stressed out the first quarter because of a certain promotion running last night by FanDuel Sportsbook.
How about that, huh?
But comes through clutch at the end there from Derrick Henry. And really from that point on, like to start the second quarter, like he popped like a 12-yarder and – he ran the ball seemingly at will, but just didn't have enough opportunities after that.
Right. No, he was on his way again. I mean, this game and the Cincinnati game, I think those two games in particular, I mean, he could have a lot more yards right now.
Yeah.
But his team's not letting him. And here we go again with Tannehill. I think that was, especially when you take away that first drive, he was perfect. I think that was his worst game.
Yeah,
as a Titan, I would say so. I mean, he missed some throws that you're just like, wow.
He had one to Jonnu Smith where Jonnu Smith was wide open, and he sailed him by 5 yards. Is it in the third quarter, I think?
I think that's when the momentum was shifting.
Yeah.
And I think the Colts had just taken the 20-17 lead.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the three and out after that.
Yeah.
And then later, fourth down, and he was open there too, and he sailed that way over his head. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I was like, he had protection. He had an open receiver, and he just airmailed. I mean, we just haven't seen that from him.
Go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Steve texts in from the borough and says, there were a lot of drop passes in crucial plays. What did you guys think of that? We talked about the A.J. Brown one. I thought Ferkser had another drop as well. Like, he's got to catch the ball. Like, he's been so reliable for Ryan Tannehill out there. He's got to catch the ball.
Yeah. It was mostly A.J., though.
It was.
I do believe he had three. You're right. Definitely two, but I think he had three. And it's just so weird to see that from him. So if he's going to not step up in the game, so he's one catch for 20. Yeah, he had four targets, so that adds up. You know, he could have had four for about 130 in a touch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one for 21 instead. You know, Corey Davis, meanwhile, does play day after his brother passes away, and he played great.
Yeah.
You know, obviously those guys, you know, wanted to win for him. Wanted to win this game because it's a big game, but he was one of the bright spots on offense along with Derrick Henry. And the defense was sort of like for almost three quarters of a game, not good, but not like unexpectedly bad.
Right.
And I thought Clowney was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Simmons, Evans, I mean, they had guys making plays, and then it's like it just – like everybody just wanted to get out, go home.
Yeah. It's like they folded up the 10, and special teams, a gigantic part of the reason for that last night. We're going to get into that on the other side of the break. Special teams was a disaster for the Titans last night. What is going on with that unit? We'll discuss next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
They get their first sack, and now a shank off the side of the foot of Trevor Daniel.
I think this game, for me, came down to the special teams for the Titans.
This one's blocked and returned for the touchdown.
I mean, as my daughter would say, P.U. Like, they stink.
And the try is no good. Eight misses this season for Gostkowski.
Because you had a bad day.
Oh, Ryan Porth, what a montage put together for the special team struggles last night for the Tennessee Titans. A bad day, indeed.
I mean, you're 1-0 in picks and pick 'em, you come up with that montage, you should feel great right now.
Yeah, this is a great day for you.
Keep your chin up. Hey, so, Vincent Love, great Titans fan.
Yeah.
He's at Matra V 615. He just tweeted 8 minutes ago, life is meaningless.
It's a rough day for Titans fans this morning.
Can never have nice things against the Colts.
No, you cannot. And special teams was anything but nice last night for the Titans. And that is the inspiration for our poll question today on Twitter, at 102.5 The Game. What was the most frustrating aspect of the Titans special team woes last night? Was it the 17-yard punt? Was it the blocked punt for a touchdown? Was it the eighth Gostkowski miss? Or was it Trevor Daniel being in the game, Ryan Allen being out? So far, 31% of the vote says it's the eighth Gostkowski miss. 26% say the blocked punt. 24% say Daniel in, Allen out. And 19% say the 17-yard punt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's early, but that's a heck of a poll question if you can spread it around like that. That's quite a night for your kicking game, too.
Alex on Twitter says, where is the yes answer choice to try to get all of these in
there? All of the above.
Yeah. Ugh. The special teams has been a disaster for the Titans as of late. And last night we talked about, you know, Trevor Daniel coming in, the 17-yard punt. That was the turning point in the game. I mean, he shanks it off the side of his foot, and he comes right back down and scores after the Titans had just had a huge goal line stand. They had all the momentum in their favor. You screw up the punt. Indy comes down and scores. You go three and out the next drive, the blocked punt, and the game's 27-17 at that point. And it's just such a dramatic shift that the Titans could never recover after that.
Okay, I'm going to – Let me quickly just go through those plays again.
Okay.
Because I wrote them all down for myself here. So, again, 11 plays, 63 seconds. So, You start with Foreman. Now, I did not know this, but apparently Derrick Henry was banged up. I didn't see that at all. He wasn't asked about it, but you guys
getting
said,
his shoulder checked out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He came back in the game, but okay. So you don't rip Arthur Smith for putting him in there, but Dante Foreman comes in, stuffed. Tannehill sacked on third and one. So 1 yard, and you're right there, 1 yard. You don't get it. Then you get the shank. You get three quick plays, Pittman with the end around. So the three and out, Jonnu Smith, corner out, he's open. Tannehill misses him. Henry gets a yard. Firkser broken up. By the way, the Colts, absolutely, I thought, well coached on defense. I mean, the Colts outcoached the Titans, period. And there's no doubt about that. They were on a lot of the Titans' favorite little plays on third down. They were on them.
Yeah.
They're on Firkser. So Daniel comes in and, you know, again, this is the third punt of his career. This is a guy who's working at FedEx. Working at FedEx until very recently. And this is already after the shank. I mean, you've got David Long, Josh Kalu, Amani Hooker on the left side. And I don't know what happened, but I think three different Colts could have blocked that punt.
Oh, agree.
If you look at the replay, it was very easy for the guy who blocked it. But the next two guys, I have a chance. Now, did Daniel take a little too long? He could have, you know, maybe if he goes fast, those other two guys don't block it, but the first guy blocks it. So, again, this is let's go back to last week. The Bears pop them, the punt return team, for a fake punt, and now your punt team just completely craps itself at that moment. I don't know what else to – I mean, did the Colts do something exotic you couldn't possibly have accounted for?
It didn't look that exotic on the replay. It's crazy.
So
look, the snap wasn't great either. We talked about Bo Brinkley. I mean, the snap's down low where Trevor Daniels got to go down and get it and then go back through his motion after that. And by the time he is, it's too late.
And that's Matt Overton. They stuck with the snapper. They have another snapper on the roster who may come in. But, I mean, look, Jared Stillman asked about special teams coach Craig Aukerman. You know, I mean, I think it's a fair question at this point,
as
bad as it's been.
We have that question. What is the future for special teams coach Craig Aukerman? Jared Stillman asked Mike Vrabel about that last night. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
Yeah, Mike, you talked about evaluating changes that you guys might make when it comes to the whole special teams and talked about coaching. Have you thought about making any coaching changes, specifically at special teams, the way it's gone this season?
No, I haven't thought – no. No, I've got a lot of confidence in Craig and Ryan and, you know, what they do. And we've got to, you know, continue to hold people accountable and continue to improve. But, no, I think that those guys, you know, I'm very confident that they know what they're doing. I know what they coach. I'm in those meetings. I'm there at practice. And so we just – and we'll keep working and making sure that, you know, we start, you know, start playing better in that area and performing better because we have.
So that's Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game last night talking about special teams. And he says, you know, I'm in those meetings. I see what they're doing. I know what they know what they're doing coaching. All right, well, why is it not getting any better? Why is it getting worse? That to me would be the question. I understand, you know, some personnel changes have happened. You don't have Brett Kern in there. And you've had to shift some things around because of that. But why are things – I mean, you talk about the Pittsburgh game. It was a disaster in that game. Give up the fake punt last week to Chicago. And last night, special teams cost you the game. I mean, it absolutely cost you the game last night. It's getting worse. So something's not adding up between what Mike Vrabel's seeing and what's happening on the field.
Well, it's – I mean, look, it's the result on game day is what matters. You could rep something a million times and know exactly what you're doing. And you could say, well, they coached it right, and, you know, David Long misses block or whatever, you know. But the bottom line is it has to go back on the coaches. I still think if you're going to talk about all this stuff, I'm going to the switch at punter and trying to understand, you know, why you would do that. Again, the switch at punter and holder.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I, on a short week, after what Ryan Allen did Sunday, not perfect, but I it's hard to understand. Hannah Storm of ESPN tweeted last night that, and she didn't sign, I guess this is a source, but she said the Titans made the switch because they wanted more hang time because of concern about Hines. who was great last night. And Ryan Allen did not have great hang time on all his punts Sunday. But, I mean, you're just – again, this guy is driving for FedEx. I mean, I understand. Tell me, how good was he in Knoxville?
I mean, he was pretty good. I mean, he got a lot of practice.
Pretty good college – yeah, pretty good college punter.
You mentioned how he was driving for FedEx. They said on the broadcast last night he showed up for his physical in his FedEx uniform.
Yeah. Which, nothing against FedEx, but – I mean, that's a heck of a jump to go punting in the NFL. And
yeah. I mean, it's just right. Like, you'd think you would have someone who's kind of doing it right now, like, right?
Yeah. Anybody get what his hang time was on that 17-yard punt? How'd that go for him? Pretty good hang time?
About a second and a half, maybe.
Oh, hang time. This is another example of sometimes coaches, they just outthink themselves sometimes. It worked in the game on Sunday. Why don't you just roll with it until it doesn't work? Brett Kern will be back soon, hopefully.
Right.
You better be.
I told you, people think I'm joking. I called Brett Kern the best player in the league. I rest my case.
He makes a huge difference. And he does. Nobody's fault that he got hurt. Man, you don't make this change.
Last night, they really missed their injured players. Really
missed them.
Kern, Luan. I mean, Sam Brillo had a whiff on one of the sacks on Tannehill. Humphreys, they could have used Humphreys
Humphreys,
a lot of those third and shorts.
He's important, no doubt.
When we come back, I have had enough of one key member of the Titans special teams unit. We'll tell you who that is on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning, reacting to a 34-17 loss for the Tennessee Titans against the dreaded Indianapolis Colts. Titans fall to second place in the AFC South, now behind the Colts in the division race. So really tough loss last night for the Titans. And Joe, I've seen enough from one particular member of this group, and it's been up and down, I guess, is the fair way to characterize the season for him so far. Steven Gostkowski has got to go. It has been a disaster at times for him. He's at 60% in his conversion rate on the season, 12 of 20 on his field goals. Look, Gostkowski, at the height of his powers, a borderline Hall of Fame NFL kicker. He's been very good. He's been largely automatic for his entire career. But he's done. I mean, he cannot do this anymore. And the Titans can't live with this anymore. You're 12 of 20 on the season. You have a worse kicking percentage than your quarterback has a completion percentage. I mean, that cannot happen in today's NFL. I mean, that's not going to work for a team wanting to compete for a playoff spot, wanting to compete for the division. I realize there's not a great option out there to replace him at the moment. But how many guys can go out there and go 12 for 20? I think a spare few probably could around the league. I've seen enough from Steven Gostkowski. This is not going to get much better to me. I mean, this just kind of is what he is at this point. It's time for the Titans to move on. He sucks right now. They can't do it.
I don't disagree with the sentiment, but you hit on what my answer was going to be and will still be. It's like, what do you do? I mean, the problem is, so again, let's go with the three guys they could have that they had last year. 41 for 46. So 12 for 20 is bad. They were 8 for 18 last year, which was astoundingly bad, especially for a playoff team. And then, of course, a team that goes AFC title game, they kicked one field goal in the postseason. Greg Joseph kicked a short field goal at Kansas City. That was it. They were terrible last year. It was a disaster. You can go through the whole last year leads to this year. Okay, so start there. Cody Parkey was fine. They got rid of Santos. It's understandable. He goes 0-4 against Buffalo. Cody Parkey's doing well. They rush Ryan Succop back. Parkey's out. Ryan Succop's not ready. He's still hurt. He's not good. They cut him. They go to Greg Joseph. If they just would have hung with Parkey longer, then they probably end up with Succop. They probably have Succop now. Succop is 16 for 18 with the Bucks. He's doing great. He's the same excellent, consistent kicker he was for years here. Cody Parkey's 10 for 11 with the Browns. He's excellent. And even Cairo Santos is 15 for 17 with the Bears. So why not? Throw them all in there. But the problem, Robbie, is that now you're in this situation where if you get rid of Gostkowski, what do you do? Even Greg Joseph, the guy who was we thought was going to be the kicker this year, was, you know, he was not great in camp, but he was leading the way. He was a little bit better than Tucker McCann in camp. He's protected. Right now the Bucs are protecting him in the practice. So you protect three guys, he's protected. He's been protected week after week. He is again this week. So what do you do? I mean, you would say just cut Gostkowski and just do anybody else?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's talk about Tucker McCann. How much worse could he be? Like, how much worse could Tucker McCann be right now for this team? What's he going to do, come in and miss a field goal? Okay. They're doing that right now anyway. Like, how much worse legitimately could Tucker McCann be right now?
He could be worse. And the way things go for these guys, he probably will be. But I'm not saying that you don't do it. It's just I would really feel a lot better about some kind of veteran out there who has done something in this league. You know, it's a big jump, as poorly as not confident as you have to feel about Gostkowski right now. Like, you're hoping he splits in a game. I would be hesitant to say, let's roll him again, baby, because, you know, we just keep playing kicker craps and crapping out. And if you do that and go to a rookie who's never kicked in the NFL one time, it could get worse. It could, which is incredible, but it could.
It can't get a whole lot worse. I mean, he's at 60%. It's awful for an NFL field goal kicker. It's awful. It cannot get a whole lot worse. I mean, you're talking about a guy, and it, again, this is the part that mystifies me. 50-yarder last night, I mean, he just nails it. It's a perfect kick. It's right down the middle. And it's like he goes inside 50 and just clams up. I don't understand it. It's not like he doesn't have the leg to get it there. I just don't get it. And look, admittedly, I'm not a field goal kicking expert. Like, I've never gone out there and kicked. But I don't understand what we're seeing right now from Steven Gostkowski. Like, it's one thing if you're old and, like, you're washed up and you just don't have the distance anymore. But he's shown he's got the distance. So the inaccuracy and the inconsistency, I just don't understand from him right now. I really don't.
Yeah, there's no – I mean, you can't feel good moving forward with him. You can't. You have to just assume that it's going to be, at the very best, just up and down, unpredictable, unreliable. That's not where you want to be. It's amazing to me that there can't be 32 guys in this league who are reliable doing that. Again – It's not an easy skill. Yeah. Not a lot of people in the world that can do it. But at the same time, you would think that every team could find a kicker. And it's funny because all these other teams in the NFL are like, oh, we'll take your cast-off kicker, Titans, and they'll come in and just light up the world for us.
Yeah, I mean, but it's pretty crazy what we're seeing right now with that. I mean, Ryan Succop, he looks really good right now in Tampa Bay. He really does.
I mean, that's where you go, is the rush back. And you're out, Parkey, who is doing well, and then Succop's not ready, and you're out. That sequence right there. If it's just a little bit longer time period, and maybe Succop's not good at all last year, so it's a tough spot. I get it, but man, that's just such a misplay, and it's just costing them over and over again. And then they get reminded of it when they look around the league.
Yeah. And Mike Vrabel was asked after the game last night about Steven Gostkowski and just where the confidence level is in him right now. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
Yeah, Mike, are you getting concerned yet about Steven?
Well, I think we're going to have to evaluate everything that we do, how we're coaching, what we do in practice, the performance. We have to be better, and I'll say that in all areas. We'll look at what we're doing and you know, try to do what's best for the team like we always do, but we all have – you know, jobs to do, and we have to try to do them better.
As usual, an enlightening answer there from Mike Vrabel after the game regarding the kicking position last night. But look, he's got to be getting to a point where, I mean, something's got to give here. You can't continue to trot this out and this be the way it goes the rest of the year. I mean, I guess you can, but the playoffs will be in jeopardy if you do that. This team's margin for error that they once had with this offense is not there anymore. I think that's pretty clear after the last four games. And you can't have your field goal kicker, you know, sending things left and right all the time. It's just, it's not good. And this cannot continue to happen with Steven Gostkowski. I'm done with him.
Yeah, well, they may be too. I mean, it's they got a lot of time to think about this. Now, of course, Tucker McCann, and I don't know what the injury is. He is actually on the practice squad injured list right now.
Yeah.
They have added Giorgio Tavecchio to the practice squad. So
why not?
I mean, there's another name for you. The last time he was in the league was 2018 with the Falcons. But actually, it was very briefly that he was with the Falcons. So he has not had a lot of NFL experience. He's been bounced with a bunch of teams: Niners, Packers, Lions, Raiders, Falcons. He was great in college. He was 112, or no, I'm sorry. He was not great. I saw 112 for 120. I'm like, holy crap, this guy's incredible in college. That was extra points. 48 for 64, 75% at Cal. I don't know. He's the guy on the practice squad. Yeah. You know you could go to him. Is there somebody else out there? Again, Greg Joseph is a guy who would be fine. Now, Jason Light, John Robinson's buddy in Tampa Bay. John Robinson used to work there. He said, hey, Jason, come on, man. Can you, you know?
Throw me a bone here, man.
Yeah, just come on. Take the protection off Greg Joseph. Honestly, if they had that as an option right now, if they could get him, I think there's a good chance they would do that. They know he can play, and Greg Joseph has played well in this league before.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Maryland texts in, can we keep Gostkowski for 50-plus yarders and get someone who's more accurate from short? We keep 13 punters around, so why not two kickers?
Well, they've got three kickers. They've got guys, Giorgio Tavecchio, Tucker McCann, take your pick. They got a lot of punters, too.
Yeah, they do. They sure do. Oh, man. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD text in, special teams cost us 17 points by my count in that game last night. How could it be that bad?
Well, and all in a short period of time. I mean, all in that awful third quarter. Because if you get back to that, and by the way, we haven't talked about this, but the field goal Gostkowski missed, so it's 27-17. Derrick Henry's kicking their butt again.
Yes.
And he has this powerful run, but Nate Davis gets the holding. The holding call, if that doesn't happen, I think there's a pretty good chance it's 27-24 and a different game. So even with all this stuff, that holding call also really changes the complexion of the game to me, because then they're behind the sticks and they can't convert and they miss the field goal. You score a touchdown there, 27-24, still the third quarter. It's early fourth. Early yeah. fourth, 27-24, who knows? I mean, you still count on your defense to do something, but the defense is not mentally and emotionally spent like they clearly were after the missed field goal.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben text in, kicker's my last worry right now. They get a handful of plays per game. I'm concerned about the dozens of plays we're failing on offense and defense. The Colts tried to beat themselves with all the stupid penalties, and we still lost by 17. I would say at this point, if kicker's the last thing you're worried about, watch the game a little bit more.
Yeah.
It should be pretty high on the list.
I kind of had a commenter on my comment, The Athletic, about that, too, because I mostly wrote about the kicking, and he's like, well, that's not the problem. The problem is, I'm like, listen, I hear you that there's other problems, but you went from up 17-13 to down 27-17 strictly because of punting disasters.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that's the game.
In a span of 60 seconds.
63 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everything else is great. Just the punting and kicking. But that was the story of the game yeah. last night. That's why you lost the game. That's why you got blown out of a game that you weren't blown out of in terms of the offense-defense play. It was a close game otherwise. Yeah.
My cousin Jake texts in, says it's 100% mental. Taking off your damn sock because you think it's the sock. I mean, come on. He's got the yips.
I mean, kickers do weird stuff like that.
They're weird.
You know, so
it's like
whatever.
Goalies in hockey.
Yeah.
They do some weird stuff, man.
People have these things. But again, it's like when it works, it's quirky. You know, it's like the shower. It's like the fungus on your sandals in the locker room in Bull Durham. You guys get that reference?
Yes.
You don't get that. Porth, no?
I have seen Bull Durham.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's like the first movie in the last 3 weeks that you've referenced that I've actually seen.
Yeah. Probably that he's even heard of. But
it's, yeah. It's colorful when things are going well, and then or it's just weird if you're losing. So, I don't know. Listen, I hear you on Gostkowski. I think they're going to think really hard about it. Now they have to be. But would you right now, if you're John Robinson, say, Giorgio Tavecchio, you are our kicker?
How much worse could
it
be?
I understand. I understand that answer, but you're John Robinson, and this is your job. And you've had all these issues with kickers, and you're just – I mean,
yes,
right now,
I would do it. I would try anything else right now. I absolutely would.
Hey, the Riverboat Gambler, let's see it,
Let's see it. Eventually, you'll hit on one, you think, at some point. When we come back, what did we make yesterday at the Titans' performance on defense? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning, reacting to a 34-17 loss for the Titans last night against the Colts. They fall to second place in the AFC South. And we mentioned a lot about special teams. We'll continue to talk about that all show long here on Robbie and Rex Road. But I want to get your thoughts, Joe, on the defense last night. What did you make of the Titans' performance defensively? Jadeveon Clowney back in the mix. Phillip Rivers able to move the ball pretty consistently up and down the field. I think Indy punted one time in the game. What did you make of the defense last night?
Yeah, it was frustrating. If you want to look at the numbers, they were 4-for-12, stopping third down. So they keep
keeps getting better, baby.
They keep moving that down.
What was the fourth down?
Fourth down was 3-for-5. So that's the thing. They had a couple of those stops, and you get them to 4th-and-1. Now, hey, the two stops on fourth down were pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Early in the game, they're driving. You stop them. And then again, A.J. Brown drops a TD. Could have been 14-0. And then you have the goal line stand. You had third and one and 4th-and-1, big-time stops. This is a very good short yardage D, actually. You know, I mean, they're not perfect.
Evans is like a goal line savant. I've never seen anything like it. Like, they get to goal line defense or 4th-and-1. That guy is unbelievable.
No. If he could play that kind of game, he'd be an all-pro.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he's a monster in there. And, again, that play – also, Simmons was definitely a big part of that play. But, yeah, he came in and absolutely filled it, and it was Hines. They switched from Taylor to Hines on 4th down. So, there's the good. They made some plays. Again, Clowney last night, I think that was his best game.
Early on, I thought he was pretty good last night.
I mean, what are we, 49 minutes into the show? All right, Stillman.
Okay. Here we go.
So, first of all, he immediately tweets at me when A.J. Brown drops that TD, like, if you want to be an elite receiver, you got to – and I agree.
Yeah, catch the ball.
So, if it's going to be an eternal argument about A.J. Brown now, if he screws up and I get tweeted at by Stillman, all right, fine. But he tweeted, and I'm paraphrasing, but Clowney on the 3rd and 4th down on the first drive.
Yeah.
So, that's a throwaway by Rivers, and then the 4th down stop. Clowney blew up his guy. He got in Rivers' face, forced the throwaway. Then he blew up his guy, and it was a big part of why they stopped him. And Stillman tweets, like, he sucks. He's get him out of here because he didn't make those plays. It's like, dude, you can't be serious. Like, that's not the right way to look at it. Everybody wants Clowney to make these plays, but if you are blowing your blocker up, he put the right tackle one time on his butt. He did a Jeffrey Simmons to that guy. Again, that was also a Simmons tipped pass on that play, in part because he did that. I'm not saying it's $13 million worth of performance. It's not.
Clowney was not the issue last night.
He was not the issue last night. And, I mean, who played especially well? The problem, it is the death by a thousand paper cuts, and you knew that's what they do. They throw to the back, dink, 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 all night. They throw to the tight end. T.Y. Hilton runs a 8-yard out cut, and there's 5 yards of cushion after that.
Yeah.
They're afraid of him, I guess, hitting them on something, but where did he ever show that he can do that?
And to that point, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, I just don't get it. The defense uses press coverage against Chicago. It works. They get the win. And the next week, they go back to sitting 7 yards off the line of scrimmage and giving Phillip Rivers a field day. I could not for the life of me understand what they were doing last night.
Yeah, I mean,
of all the quarterbacks right now in this league that you're concerned about beating you deep, Phillip Rivers, if he's not on the bottom of the list, he's towards the bottom of the list. He can't throw the ball down the field anymore.
No. Now, Vrabel talked, you know, there were a lot of questions to this effect, rightfully so, after the game. Vrabel at one point talked about, you know, they got picked on something when they tried to play straight up like man, they got picked. You know, we hit them on quick stuff still, even though they were trying to play tight, play press, play man. So I understand, like, Rivers is very smart. He, if he sees that, he'll hit you this way. But again, I felt like when he threw it 15 yards, he was putting everything he had into it. There were a couple plays that they got big chunk plays, but it was just because, like, Michael Pittman's crossing all by himself. I don't know what – that was a mistake by somebody. Somebody in their coverage blew that. There were times, you know, the touchdown to Hines. I mean, Jayon Brown knew what was coming, and he was in man. You know, obviously, manning up on the running back, and Hines just was faster than him. He beat him to the spot, caught the ball, perfect little pass, and he gets to the sticks. I mean, that's going to happen. That stuff is – more understandable than, like you said, these moments where it's like, yeah, play them like you played the Bears. I understand you have a lot more respect for Phillip Rivers, but I wouldn't have any more respect for him pushing the ball downfield at all.
Absolutely, it's not.
It's not there.
No, I mean, just it seems like at times he's physically incapable of it. I mean, that's just where he is right now in his career. And like Phillip Rivers has never been like this just chuck it down the field type of guy. I mean, he can make deep throws in his career. But he's never been this like, hey, I'm going to sit here and just burn you over the top, play after play after play. That's not been how he's operated.
Now, 2 years ago in London, I believe he hit them with two big ones, didn't he? Yeah. But I swear he's a different guy than that.
He is. He absolutely is.
Like, I'm trying to think. I said earlier that he tried basically one downfield throw, and it should have been picked by Butler. Butler was right there, turned around. Oh, thanks for the pick.
You know, he did pick it. It just the sideline happened to be there.
Yeah, foot out of bounds. He did have another one where he actually sailed it, but he doesn't have confidence to make those throws. It doesn't look like.
Yeah.
So I agree with the frustration. Apparently, people tell me Troy Aikman kept saying it on the broadcast too. Like, what are they doing time and time again? So I don't know the answer there because, again, it's like they found something against the Bears. Granted, different offensive line for sure. You can affect the quarterback better for sure against them. But they have better receivers, I think, than what the Titans faced last night. Pittman looked good last night, but mostly it was run after the catch stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like they reverted to this miserable existence of just take the short stuff all night. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro was sort of like, it's not as simple. And, of course, it's not as simple as we're making it. They mix things up. But I would have gone more the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Tim from Clarksville, who wants to weigh in. Tim, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I will start this off just by letting everyone know I'm a lifelong Chargers fan from San Diego. I actually do appreciate it when – the GM Floyd still calls them the San Diego Chargers. But I wanted to say, man, you guys couldn't be further from the truth for Phillip Rivers and what he's done historically. That guy has been a deep ball, accurate passer his entire career. I watched him for years with the Chargers. That's what he's known for. So, and I saw some throws last night that he made that were some pretty hard throws still. So I think that I'm going to give the Titans the benefit of the doubt, at least their coordinator, the benefit of the doubt, and say that they probably knew that Rivers still has that in him or suspected that he does, and just base it off of history. I think if you look at his numbers historically against the Titans, the guy is just – he doesn't lose to the Titans. So maybe that's why they're trying to play off and expecting, you know, the tackles to happen a little bit more surely and some quicker tackling to keep those losses at a minimum or those gains at a minimum and try to make them kick field goals. I just wanted to say that you know, Phillip Rivers throws the ball deep throughout his career better, just as good or better than most people.
Hey, thanks for the call, Tim.
Yeah.
Well, again, that may have been true at one point.
Right.
Like it's not now.
Well, we just said 2 years ago he killed him over the top. And, yes, I mean, we've all watched Phillip Rivers. As much as it's an Uncle Rico sideline winging it weird, wind-up. Yeah. No, I mean, he's been great, man. The guy's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
This year, and I thought last year when he was here, actually, too, I was like, okay, he's on the decline. Now, I think Tim makes a point, and first of all, this is also philosophical for these guys. We're not giving up the big play. We're not letting it go over our head. Eventually, if we make them work for it, they're going to make a mistake. That's right. That's the philosophy. It's just, I think at some point you got to decide to be more aggressive in that particular game last night against that guy and what he is at this moment.
Agreed.
Can I bring up something on the defense that was really irritating? They bring in Brissett for that goal line sneak. You know that's the only reason they're bringing him in. And they had the sky cam view, and there's like no one over the center.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And Jeffrey Simmons was kind of off the ball a little bit, but yeah, I mean, they sent two guys on him, and Brissett, I mean, he could have walked it.
It was a given. And, I mean, that, what, made it 34-17? I mean, that was game over at that point, but still. I mean, defensively last night, they were just all over the place. And to your point, Joe, about Aikman, he was really harping on the fact that they weren't close enough on the fourth down where Byard, I forget which Colts receiver it was that was just wide open.
I think it's Pittman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That was definitely a man. That was definitely a man. And there was a pick play in there, but that was Byard's guy caught it. It was just, I mean, it was just boom, boom, and it's easy. That way too easy.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, are you concerned our defensive coordinator will be fired today?
No, I guarantee the defensive coordinator will not be fired today.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Is the DC safer than Craig Aukerman?
I'd say so.
In all honesty, like Jared asked a question. I think it's fair when you have this many problems. Like I think there's 0% chance that there's any coaches fired this year.
Yeah.
Zero. I just think that's one of the things with Vrabel. I don't think you'll ever see him. I mean, unless you're talking about someone who's like, showing up to work at 2 p.m. and
yeah, like on the field reasons specifically this year. You think there's no way?
No way.
Okay,
that's my belief. I think that's going to be a variable thing for his whole career. He's not, you know, some people call it quote unquote sacrificing coaches. Others would say, well, sometimes the job's not getting done, but I don't think there's any chance he'll do it.
When we come back, we're going to get into the big picture a little bit. How concerned are we about the Titans after this game last night, and what does that mean for the Titans in the big picture? We'll get to that coming up next. But first, hope, health, and connection. During these unsteady times, it's never been more important for all of us to have these in our lives, but it's even more so for our children and teens. So please join STARS for an important virtual campaign. Cherish the hope, health, and connection of our young people. This six-week campaign launched on Monday, October 19th, and will run until Tuesday, December 1st, which is Giving Tuesday. Please follow the campaign and celebrate all the incredible ways STARS provides hope, health, and connection within our community. All proceeds raised will go directly to their school-based prevention and mental health counseling services, as well as their intensive outpatient adolescent treatment program. To learn more, please go to starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rexro, live from the Wholesale Link studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.